this time, I ask that you turn into your scripture, your pew Bible in front of you, to Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 21. Before we read this together, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time to read your word, to get into it, to study it. For you have blessed us so much with your word. Your word reminds us that you want us to know more and more about you. That you didn't let us go bumping along in the night with no direction, but have given to us your word. Your word, especially, Lord, we thank you for also because your Son Jesus is the Word made flesh. You, Lord, have not only told us how much you love us, but you have shown us very clearly through Jesus. Mold us and shape us today. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive what it is that you have. May your name be praised today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 21. Ready? Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Truly a very interesting word it is. In fact, a challenging word. And in some regards, the sermon may be a bit challenging, but I ask that you hang with me for a little bit. Last week, we read the scripture just prior to this, and we talked about worship. So in order for us to kind of prepare for this week's scripture, I'm going to assume that no one remembered last week's scripture. So I'm going to re-preach last week's scripture, okay? Just very, very quickly. It's only take me a few seconds, a few minutes maybe. Last week's scripture, we started with Romans chapter 1, or chapter 11, verse 36. For this is Paul's idea of who God is. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This is the idea of God. That God as creator, all things are from him, all things are through him, and to him go all things. He has this huge idea of God. And so likewise, through Jesus Christ, he has this huge idea of Jesus, who showed him that not only God is all this through creation, but that through Jesus, God is also one who continually acts in our own lives today. Still there, still present, still applicable to our lives today and always. God has not grown old or out of style. God is always there and ever present. And God changes lives, such as God changed Paul's life dramatically from persecutor to defender of the faith. So with this in mind, Paul says if you want to worship God, the proper way to worship God is to give God all that you are. Your very being is an acceptable sacrifice of worship to God. Meaning that all that we do in obedience to God is worship. And he goes to say that that being said, when we live with God in the church, the body of Christ, we should do those things that we were created to do. If you're a teacher, teach. If you're a minister, minister. If you're given the gift of compassion, do it joyfully. This is how we worship God. Paul has a twofold understanding, though, of our life and how it's focused or where it's focused. Yes, focus upon God, but there's more than that. Paul recognizes our need to live within the church, but Paul also recognizes the fact that we are not called to cloister ourselves away from the rest of the world. Paul's message, especially this one in Romans, is not to go out to be part of a monastery or to gather people around you and go live in some man-made utopia where you're cut off from the rest of the world. Paul recognizes the reality that we live in the world. And we are constantly going to be a part of people who are not part of the church. And so the next part of this that we just read today is about how do we worship God? Or what does it mean to worship God when we then find ourselves outside of the walls of the church? Never outside of the church. We're always part of the church. But outside of the gathering that we find ourselves in today. Paul says when you leave the building, nothing changes. In fact, it may get just a little bit more difficult. Read this again, briefly, with these things in mind. Let love be genuine then. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitalities to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. It know if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, church doesn't end. We don't get a break from being Christian. Paul's word in here is that Christianity, as this idea that we've concocted in our own minds that it's called religion, which can be defined as a part of life, is not that. Christianity, as told to us and showed to us by Jesus Christ, is all of life. But you don't get... A friend of mine, he's a pastor up at Garden City. Scott Gallagher is his name. He's 5'6", 220 pounds. He's got some fat on him, but not a whole lot. He's just beefy, you know. I ran into him once. I bounced off him. He didn't even know I ran into him. He looked around and said, "What are you doing on the ground?" He's just this huge guy. We're doing a diet together, not to lose weight, but to build strength and health. And all the tips say, when you look online, that when you do a diet, it's always a good idea to incorporate into your diet a cheat day. You know, you got to watch what you eat, but then there's one day, maybe a Saturday, where you can eat whatever you want. And if I had one of those, I would look forward to it every week. Christianity doesn't have a cheat day. There's no day that we can say, well, you know, today I'm not going to be a Christian. Today I'm going to punch the first person that makes me angry. I'm going to cheat on my taxes this week. I'm going to steal this candy bar. I'm going to talk down to my neighbor. There is none of that. Because Paul's understanding of who God is that God is a God who not only creates the world, but also accompanies the world through the journey, each and every day, without a day off, without thinking about not being with us. And because that's the case, we too have that same expectation in our lives that Christ has given to us. In fact, the thing that's difficult about this scripture is that what Paul was talking about here, more or less, is church membership. If you want to be members of the church, this is what your life looks like. We're so excited about this sermon because for the first time ever, and I mean ever, I found the opportunity to incorporate the Book of Discipline into the sermon. Isn't that exciting? So, if you would open up your Book of Discipline that all of you have brought with you. Yeah, right. To paragraph 217. I don't know, is it those things called articles when they have points? I have no idea. But it's the membership vows that we take, and it's number 7. No, I'm sorry, I lied to you. Number 6. You vow as a member of the church to faithfully participate in its ministries by their prayers, their service, their gifts, their presence, and their witness. When you became a member of the church, these are part of the vows that you took. To be part of the church, let me read it again. Your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. This doesn't mean that it is partial or every other day or just on Sunday. I think what Paul wrote down was far more difficult to do and far more encompassing of our lives. But the truth of the two remained the same. Membership in the body of Jesus Christ is for keeps. It's the totality of the whole person. For what purpose, you might ask? Is it in order to gain entrance into heaven? No, absolutely not. We gain entrance into the gates of heaven through the salvation of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul's writing here is one out of gratitude. Because Christ died for you, this is how you should live. Now, there's a far deeper purpose as to why we live this way in our lives, why we promise to give our service, our presence, our gifts, our witness, our ministry to Jesus Christ. It's because those who are a member of something then become representatives of that which they are a member of. Which means when you go out and you live your life, people are watching. People know that you're part of Trinity United Methodist Church. So they're not just looking at you to see what kind of church Trinity United Methodist is. They're watching us to see kind of God is. What kind of Jesus is. Because we are ambassadors and representatives of Jesus Christ when we walk out those doors, even with those here together. It's a frightening thought. So frightening, this thought, that you notice my orange car that I have outside does not have a clergy sticker on it. Because I'm afraid for people to know, especially in my driving duties. But we are always representatives of Jesus wherever we go. There is no cheat day. Because Christ takes no cheat day with us. But loves us each and every day of our life whenever we, wherever it is we go. And so Paul gives us all a challenge that as members of the body of Jesus Christ, let us do the same. Recognize that we are members of the body of Jesus Christ. And as such, live in love the best that we can. So that when people look at us, they see that indeed through Jesus Christ, the presence of God is with them. We ask for strength to the Lord to give us that strength to live that way each day. And praise God for the opportunities He will give us to live that way each day. Let us stand together and sing our next hymn, which is Let There Be Peace on Earth. It's page 431. And during the singing of this hymn, you're welcome to come down to the prayer rail, and I will be glad to pray with you.